Pastor Chris jump-started our prayer and fasting series last week. Chris did a great job diving into a very sensitive and what we have come to believe is a very needed subject matter, and primarily because of a lot of the misconceptions. And so this morning, what we want to just have a conversation about and just a dialogue is we were talking about last week that prayer is really all about relationship. And Chris even said that the goal last week was to stir our affections for him so that we are compelled to pray. But this morning, we want you to just think about how a personal relationship impacts prayer. So this morning, Sean is up here with me, and what we're going to do this morning is we're just going to have an open, honest conversation together. And for a lot of you, what this is we're trying to help you understand what communication with God looks like. And so, with so many misconceptions, and one of the things that we need to address, one of the things that we want to address right off the bat, I am so thankful for our church family. And we have an incredible number of men, real men, men that are pressing in, men that are learning to pray. But hear our hearts this morning that as we're talking, amen, one of the things that we've been having a dialogue about and the reason that we're doing this morning is we believe and we sense, we know for a fact that when it comes to prayer, men struggle deeply with the concept of prayer. Men struggle to pray. Men struggle to understand what prayer really is and what prayer looks like. And so last week, I took a bunch of notes, took a ton of notes. Man, I was so fired up between the two services. I'm writing everywhere. I've got all kinds of notes. And just thinking about if prayer is conversation with God, and some of you don't really believe that yet, but hopefully by the time we get done this morning, you'll realize that prayer should be a very natural conversation we can have with Father God. I ran back to Travis, and I was talking back there, and I'm like, Travis, I got this idea for next Sunday. And we were talking, and Travis is like, okay, man, I'm in. But I already committed to go help my friend's daughter move the second service. Sean was standing at least 6 feet away.
Wrong place at the wrong time.
I said, Sean, are you going to be here for the second service? He was like, you know I am, because I'm covering for Travis. And I'm like, okay, good. Travis can do the 8:30 service. Sean, you can do the 10:30 service.
Yeah, I learned a lesson. When he's walking around with notes, go around the outside of the building.
Run, Forrest,
yeah,
run.
Yeah.
That's good. So what's been really cool is we've been talking throughout the week. And what I love about this with Sean is that Sean and I are friends. And Sean and I have had tons of conversations through the years. Heartfelt conversations, vulnerable, deep, raw, honest conversations. And so even as we met this week, part of what Travis and Sean and I were just trying to do is just be vulnerable. What is it? Why do we struggle? Why do we struggle to pray? Why? Because it's obvious from the different dialogues that we've had, even in other men's groups and stuff, that it's not just you and I.
Yeah.
There's a consistent challenge that most men really struggle with prayer.
Yeah, and it was definitely cool, like Thursday night meeting, and, you know, I have my own struggles, but then when I hear Travis's, I'm like, well, I didn't realize that was my struggle. Like, you know, I realized some of the stuff that Travis struggled with is what I struggle with, and then even Thursday night, you know, we left your place, and then Travis and I got here at 6:30 this morning to set this stuff up, and we're talking about it again. And, you know, he brought the disappointment fact up again, and like that, I never even thought about that, but that's so true of, you know, we, like Travis and I both have the same relationship with our dads. Like, our dads are our heroes. Last thing we want to do is disappoint them. And I remember one time in wrestling, I got thrown on my back and I come back to win, but my dad didn't talk to me for like 2 days. I'm like, what is going on? He's like, I can't believe you let that kid throw you on your back. And that level of disappointment, I never wanted to do again. I don't think I ever got thrown on my back after that point. But then when I take that from my earthly dad to my heavenly father, like, I don't want to disappoint him either. So for, and you know, Travis was so true with this, and like, I don't want to have to go to him or, and he already knows. So like, if I'm struggling or if I screwed up, like, I'm disappointing him, and I don't want to do that anymore than I did my real dad.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we want you to just be, especially men and ladies, I've learned through the years, as we're digging in with men and we're challenging men, most of you ladies that are seeking the Lord, you're just going to be super excited that we're having these conversations. And we're going to be continuing, because one of the things that we've been talking about is we're trying to make this study of prayer and fasting, this series, we're not trying to make it academic and theological. Because what we don't is we don't just need more information about prayer. What we need to do is we need to press in and become people that pray on a deeper, stronger, more fervent level. So one of the things, guys, one of the reasons that we're talking about this and we're having this dialogue this morning is that as we have been unearthing and being vulnerable, it is these misunderstandings and these misconceptions. If we can't go down and be honest about what keeps us from praying, then how are we going to improve our prayer life? And if we don't see prayer as a conversation and a natural thing, if we see prayer as some holy experience with holy words and a holy posture, men, most of us can't live in that. We can't live in that experience. So I'm going to be honest, as we've been talking, I'm going to just jump into this. Some of you, through the years, you've heard me talk about this, that I consider myself a recovering religionist. So what that means is if we had a group for recovering religionists, I'd be in there and we'd show up and my name is Tim, and I've been understanding love for 3 years and 28 days. Are you tracking with me? It's something that is a perpetual, constant thing in my life. And this is why I mentioned that, because I want you to understand something. Growing up in the type of Baptist church that I did, I wanted so desperately to be redeemed and to be saved. And so when I felt like that I had experienced God's love and His mercy and His grace, that did not mean that I understood how to live in His love and His grace. And so what had been presented to me, what made more sense to me, was doing these things to make God happy. In other words, I was trying to do certain things. And so listen, what prayer was for me was a duty. It was just something I was supposed to do. Oh, it's in the scripture. But it became something in my mind that I had to do. Prayer was a duty. Prayer was a responsibility. It was just something on my list.
Yeah.
It was
a task.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
It was a task. Something I had to do. And so in the process of that, then I opened up the scripture. And for many years, it's been confusing to me, where Jesus says, hey, a servant, and he uses a terminology between a servant and a friend. Well, because of what I had embraced and believed about prayer, I was happy to be a servant for most of my Christian life. Because just it's mission driven. Give me a task, tell me what to do. I'm a fixer, I'm a doer, I'm a guy, I love action, so just tell me what you want me to do. And so then I would just go do it, and it wasn't one of those things where I even kind of believed that friendship was possible. Because that's a totally different relationship. So for most of my life, in my Christian pursuit, it was just like I was happy to be on assignment. You just show me what you want done. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit began to reveal the scriptures, and I began to see love and grace, and I began to see these relational things. And so, men, I'm letting you know that even as we've been talking, we've been having all these dialogues, for me personally, I'm still trying and I'm still learning and I'm still experiencing new things. Even this week, I've been practicing new things to address the misconceptions and the misunderstandings, because the religious tentacles really go deeper in most of us than what we realize. Does that make sense? So, Sean, as we've been talking about these things, and as we've been discussing these things, even on Thursday night, are you learning and believing what we're talking about this morning, that prayer is really just simply having a conversation with the God of the universe?
Yes, I do believe that. And especially as we're doing it and learning more, even the simple things, like you said, like you think like there, you can only pray at a certain time. You can only pray a certain way. And when you start just like my popcorn prayers, I have popcorn prayers all the time. I'm driving down the road past an ambulance, like pray for them people. Like I don't sit down and just take my time and bow my head and I'd wreck. But
while you're driving,
please
don't do that.
So you know, like
I've seen you driving with your eyes open.
But yeah, so absolutely, like the conversation is just like we're having. Like we don't have to sit down at a round table to have that conversation to build that relationship.
Well, even like last service when Travis was talking about Psalm 46, 10 and 11 that, you know, Chris mentioned last week, is still quiet time? Is that easy for you?
No. The still part of praying, I haven't mastered. I've seen it. My wife, I can watch her and I'm like, I want that as I go out the door to get my chainsaw.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I just, that whole being still for us men is, you know, most of us, we want to get at it. We want to get things done. So that to sit down and just be still and listen and talk is, it's hard.
Yeah, big time. Because we've got, and if we embrace our responsibility and we're trying to have integrity, then we've always got a million things to do.
Yeah. And then even if like my day changes, like I got my whole day scheduled and something falls through, I don't have to do it in the afternoon. Well, I'm going to add something else to my plate rather than take that opportunity to, okay, now today I'm going to go be still and listen and quiet and pray. No, I'm going to add to my list. I'm going to knock some stuff off of tomorrow's list for today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I want you to hear this. I want to read this to you. We've been talking about this. We've been talking about this in our dialogue, in our conversation we've been having. I want you to consider this. Prayer is unleashing the presence of God in my life so that his power becomes a byproduct of a personal relationship. Let me read it again. I want you to think about this. Prayer is unleashing the presence of God. Men, most of us don't know how to practice or live in the presence of God. And if we have these misunderstandings or this misconceptions about prayer, then that hinders this simple truth even more. Because just like what we've been talking about between the two different tables, if we've got this religious table that we go to this place, or prayer is this holy thing that we do somewhere, then it affects how we have conversations with Father God. So prayer is unleashing the presence of God in my life so that his power becomes a byproduct of a personal relationship. So I wrote a note here. We were talking about this. A misconception of prayer is that it is a power pursuit to help us achieve our own goals and desires.
Yeah. And that, like Chris's sermon last week, he said something, I'm paraphrasing, but like, we pray for my will. Like, this is what I want, you know, and that's where, you know, I pray when I want God to do something for me.
No, absolutely. Just a reminder. God wants a personal relationship. He sent his son Jesus to proclaim his love for us. So he longs for us to be closer to him than we realize. But here's the thing. God's not going to force us or make us pursue him. He longs for us to long for him. So one of the things that Sean and I are going to do, we want to go back to John chapter 15 that we looked at last week. But we're going to do in John chapter 15. I read from the New King James. I think Sean reads from the NLT. So I'm going to read it because I want you to hear the word comparison, because I think some of you will really resonate to see different words, but the same concept, and you can put them together and show you the strength of connectivity that we're trying to lean into. So I'm going to start in John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read in the New King James, and then Sean's going to read in the NLT. And this is what I want you to think about. We included verse 11 because I think that there is a component of this relational conversation that Jesus is sharing with us in verse 11 that we can easily miss. And I want to just tell you, this is the difference between being religious and being in active personal faith relationship with our Savior. Begin reading in verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now remember, this is the words of Jesus. This is him sharing his heart with us. He said, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will seek what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Now, before Sean reads in a different translation, men, I think what a lot of us really miss, men, we want to be loved. Men, we need to experience love. And I can just tell you from personal experience, what I did not get in the middle of my religiosity when I'm doing the duty and I'm pressing in, did God meet me there? And did the Holy Spirit respond to my request? But what? Yes, he did. And he brought me and he taught me. But what was missing, the missing motivation for me, was love. And when the scripture says, learn to love God, he loved you, learn to love him and learn to love other people. This love component is what is missing for many of us, and it affects the depth of our conversation and our relationship. So if we don't understand as men this love component, and if we can't learn to abide in this love, if we don't know how to improve our active conversation with Father God, then could it be that The joy that Christ is talking about eludes many of us. So then we become even more focused on our to-do list, because then we feel better about ourselves by the more that we do, instead of who we actually are. Now, with that in mind, listen as Sean reads John chapter 15 again.
I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and piled into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow.
This remaining, this abiding, this connectedness, it's the power of a conversation, a regular conversation. So as we've been talking, one of the things that we talked about, all three of us, and we've even heard it with other men, that the scripture, pray without ceasing, just a short phrase comes to our mind, pray without ceasing. But we talk as men, most men, we don't get that.
No, like that goes back to like my popcorn prayers. Like I don't feel as if my popcorn prayers are, like I shouldn't do popcorn prayers. Like they're not meaningful. But in order to praise without ceasing, I have to do the popcorn prayers, because otherwise I won't get anything done if I just sit and be still all day long. So that's where like a misconception of you have to sit down, bow your head, and that's the only way to pray. Like that's something that I struggled with, because of the Wednesday morning prayer group that we do is so good for me, because of I learned different things from you guys. But like that's one of the things where those prayers are meaningful. That's what's on my heart at that minute.
Absolutely.
Like if I don't pray about it then and there, when I get home, it's gone.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna forget about it. Yeah. Even though it's meaningful to me and it's important to me.
So when we were talking about this whole remaining and abiding thing, you mentioned seasons. Travis mentioned Julia, and I talked to you about my wife, Lori, that for all of us, our wives are able to model more of a, it seems like they get the praying without ceasing because it's just this regular conversation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so one of the things that, you know, and there again, God's design for marriage is it will be complementary. And so I've been able to learn from my wife more about what this means, because as a man, I'm so task driven and I'm so accomplishment oriented. Like I'm a fixer. I want to fix things. So that's been a huge issue in conversation in our marriage, and I'm doing better, aren't I? Yeah. Okay, good. I'm improving. I got better. Some of you know, never mind. And so, you got it. Okay, good. So like a lot of times she would come home and she just want to converse. She just want to talk. She'd want to share. And I'm like, we don't have to spend all this time. A minute and a half, I got this figured out. Here's what you need to do. Here's how you can fix it. Because I'm task oriented. And she would just look at me like, I don't need you to fix it, which made no rational sense to me. Okay, problem, you fix it. And then I understood that there's power in the conversation. There's power in sharing the heart. There's power in being able to release and embrace and listen. I would hear her with the problem, but I wasn't really listening with my heart. See, there's a big difference. But as a man, this whole abiding and remaining concept is naturally challenging for me. Is it challenging for you?
Yes. And even that whole, like you were saying about our wives, like in that conversation, Seasons and I are like Travis and Julia, like we've learned, we get up at 5:30 in the morning and that's our time on the couch together.
Yep.
We can talk about pretty much anything. She talks, I listen. And like our phone's not ringing. But I do listen. Like if she tries to call me during the day, we just talked about this Thursday. Like I'm like I answer the phone because I love her, but I got so much stuff going on where I can't have that deep personal conversation like we have at 5:30 in the morning on the couch.
Yeah, absolutely. But you actually listen to her when she does call on the phone.
Yes, of course.
Okay. All right, moving on. Moving on. We're just having a little celebration, a little man celebration here. Good things going on. Well, what are the things, being honest and raw and transparent, what are the things for you, Sean, the misconceptions? Why do you struggle? Why do you think that we as men, why do we struggle with prayer?
Well, I can, for me, like a lot of it's my scatterbrainedness. Like I always say, my mind's like a pinball machine. When they kick that other ball out and you got two of them, I just got both flappers going, trying to keep both balls both balls up there. So, I mean, I do a lot of hunting and I sit at the base of a tree and like, this is perfect time. Like it's quiet, it's dark. I get, like I refer to it as a low hanging fruit. I pray for my wife. I pray for my kids, you know, and that is probably the most meaningful thing to me in my life. But then I don't get any deeper than that. And I pray for that every night and every morning. So my scatterbrainness is a big struggle of mine. Like I said, in the morning I'm sitting there and I should be able to pray for that hour before the sunlight comes up, but I don't stay focused.
No, I gotcha. So how, and we've talked about this a lot privately.
Do we need to keep it there?
I would think you're way past that.
Okay.
And we've talked about this in multiple situations, but it just seems like prayer, emotions, men, emotions. How do we as men typically view emotions?
We keep them to ourselves. Like we don't share emotions. Like with emotion in our mind, at least my mind, emotions weakness. And that's actually something I've been struggling with as I am getting more emotional. Like I feel like a wuss. Like I'm like, yeah, suck that in. Like I can't let my wife, yeah, and kids see me getting choked up.
But as men, like we've talked about this a lot, why do you think it is that we as men view emotions as a weakness or a hindrance or a problem?
I would say for most of us, that's what's modeled to us.
Yeah.
Like we don't see any other males showing emotion, almost any other males.
Yeah.
And then, so in our minds, that's wrong. You know, we shouldn't do that. So even with God, like we don't a lot of times share it and get emotional even when we're by ourselves and nobody's there, because now we're showing weakness to Him in my shoes, in my own experience.
Absolutely. And when as you're learning to have conversations with Father God, do you experience Him opening you up from the inside out?
For sure.
And emotions or feelings being revealed to you in the process of talking to Him?
Yeah. And like as it's happening, I still don't like it. Like even though I know it's good and I know it's great that I'm building that personal relationship, then I'm still, even if I'm by myself, I'm still like, suck it up, you know? Which is just a mind thing. Like, I know it shouldn't be that way, but it's my mind battle that I have with myself.
So, men, isn't it crazy that we want to be loved? We want to experience this love. We need emotional interaction. If you say, I don't, then you're doing a really good lying to yourself. And you've you've created a really good bubble around yourself. But we long for this. But yet when we experience love, it taps us in a way. So even though we long for love, we don't know how to interact with that. We don't know what to do with it. Because if it taps something deep within us and we feel emotion start to, what do most of us do? It's like, whoa. So when we've been praying together, and you know at this point in my life, it is what it is. And how many times are we praying in a group and I can't, it just flows out of me. And
that's why I change it to most of it, most men.
Yeah. Okay.
But you know, like that's, and that's also like your model one for me. And I look up to you for that. But at the same time, like I'm like, okay, so Tim's obviously way closer to God than I am, has a way closer personal relationship. And that's what I want. And, but I don't want that part of it.
Yeah, no, no, I understand.
You know, like,
absolutely.
I want him to be my buddy. I don't want to cry to him.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, Tim's okay, but he's a wuss. Yeah. You know what I mean? No, I get that. I get that. I get that from a lot of people. That's cool. So, along with that, we've had some pretty honest conversations about, you know, we talked about, and I'll preface it by saying this. This is how we are as guys, typically. Hey, we're going to have a work day. We did it the other day. We're going to chop down trees. We're going to build stuff. Bring your tools. I love this church family. We're going to help somebody else. 45 men are going to show up. Next week, we're going to have a prayer meeting. Two people show up. Two men show up. And why are those two men there?
Because you tricked us into it.
Or their wives said, you're going to that prayer meeting. Okay. But you see what I'm saying? There's just a natural, and why can't we talk about that openly and have a conversation like what we're having a conversation? Can we just address some of the honest reasons? So we have this ongoing dialogue. How are we as men with asking for help?
We don't. No, like I
but do we want to help other people?
We want to, absolutely. Call me for help anytime. Don't expect me to call you.
Okay.
But that's...
Anybody? Amen? Amen? You're scared to answer right now, okay? Were you raising his hand? That's how
that she was. Zach, she was raising it for him.
Yeah, that was good.
You'll be up here next week.
If I text you and say, hey, Zach, you want to come over to the house? You're going to be like, no.
Unread. But no, I mean, like, I'll even struggle with, you know, like a refrigerator. Like, I can't possibly do it by myself, but I'll do my best to figure out a way to do it by myself before I call for help.
And break it.
Yes. And, you know, but I'm the same way. Like, when like, I'll pray when I know I can, I need this help. I can't do it by myself, but not until I try a ton of times first. Like, it's not my go-to, and I don't understand that. Like, I know it should be, but I will try to do it myself before I ask for help, even from God.
So why is it that we view, as men, we view talking to God, a lot of us view it as failure.
Defeat.
Yeah. Defeat. Yeah,
that's
you
what,
use that word
That's
several
the word
times.
I use. Like, if I have to ask for help, I have to admit defeat in my mind. That's my mindset.
Yeah.
So, like I said, like Joby Martin, I listen to Joby Martin a lot, and it says multiple times, if you think you got this, you ain't got this.
Yeah.
So every time he says that, like, I think I got this, whether I'm just in a good spot and I don't need prayer. I'm good. I'm going to pray for my wife and my kids. I don't need prayer. And I think of that, like, if I don't think I need prayer, I need prayer.
Oh, absolutely. So I know we've talked about this multiple times. And we've been raw and real about this. That just kind of slides into us as men being proud. And how does pride affect our conversation with God? And you can talk about conversation with other people, but it also sets the tone. If I can't be honest and swallow my pride with you, how am I going to do that with God?
Yeah, we try not to be prideful. We want to be humble. But at the same time, our pride gets in the way of so much. And back to asking for help. Like, if I've got to swallow up my pride to ask for help. And whether it's from you or from him, I just go back to that defeat. Like, I'm just... I got, like, no, I got this. No, you ain't got this.
Yeah, absolutely. What would be something else that you feel like is a misconception or something that holds you back?
I think I have a whole list.
You do have a whole list. we all have a whole list if we're going to be honest with ourselves.
Back to the whole task-oriented stuff. When I know I got busy days, on my phone, I make a list of things that I got to do because I feel good when I knock them things off my list. Like, I'm rocking and rolling. And then I'll look at my list and prayer's not even on my list. Like, how's it not a priority to me? And it never makes my list of things to do for the day.
So being honest about that, you realize that part of all this dialogue is to try to, like, not make it on your list, but to include that conversation with him in every part of your list. And you've talked to me about this before. There's been days where you have done that. You've said, Father, and you've included him in every one of these tasks.
Yeah.
How does your day go when you do that?
It goes good. And, like, maybe back to that whole thinking I have to sit and pray. A lot of times it don't get on my list because I do it during the day.
Yeah.
And, like, I know he's with me all the time. I always tell Seasons, like, it's never me. It's always we, even when I'm by myself.
Yeah.
And I got to get a cow caught up, and I'll text her. And I'm like, we got it. And, like, she knows I'm by myself, but I never look at it as me. So I know he's there and present, but... like, to, and I guess back to that list thing is, I think in order for me to pray, I've got to be all set down. So I don't consider all those popcorn prayers during the day sufficient. They're not good enough.
But isn't that what we're talking about? If we really saw prayer as a conversational, personal relationship,
it would be all day.
It would be a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big time.
Yeah.
So even, Travis, some of the things that we've been talking about, don't you feel like that a lot of us that have any kind of church background have some real misconceptions about, you got to get on your knees, you got to close your eyes, you got to turn everything. And trust me, Matthew makes it very plain that there is a place for our prayer closet. There's a place for Psalm 46, 10, 11, to be quiet, to be still. But most of us can't live in that place. We're living our lives. We're walking through our lives. We're trying to figure out, what does this conversational thing look like?
Yeah. So that's where, like, that on Thursday, you had us pray out loud.
I didn't know if he was going to bring this up or not, because we're having this amazing conversation and we're talking about all that, we're pouring our hearts out. So probably about three quarters of the way through, because I've started practicing this for a lot of years now, is my eyes are open. I'm looking at the guys and I just start talking to Father God like he's really in the room with us. We believe the scripture where two or three are gathered in his name. Where is he? He's right in the middle of us. But a lot of times the way we pray, think about it. Just think about the reality of this. If the only time I've got to pray is I've got to get on my knees and I've got to close my eyes, what does that kind of say about where God might be?
Not here.
Not here, not present,
yeah.
Somewhere else.
And that was a part, like, I would, again, back to that Wednesday morning prayer group and stuff, like, I've been around you enough, I've prayed with my eyes open, like, at dinner and stuff, but I guess maybe I only ever did it because I seen you do it. And the whole concept of pray with your eyes open and talk out loud because he's right here with us never hit me till this week. Like he's here with us. Why don't I gotta close my eyes? And he's like, you're ignoring me.
Tell him what happened until about Travis.
Yeah. Travis has never prayed with his eyes open or out loud. And when Tim told us to do that, he's like, whoo.
He seriously, if you could have seen his face.
He was glad I had to go first.
Yeah. I said, so no, let's practice this. And his eyes got big and he's like, I'm like, yeah, right now. Let's practice what we're talking about. But what was his response when he got done? Didn't the Holy Spirit engulf him as he was talking out? Because he was honoring God's presence in the room. And then when he got done, he had all this stuff that was flushing out of him that the Holy Spirit was dealing with him and revealing to him in the middle of him just having a conversation with Father God like he was there.
Even like by myself praying out loud, and I'm kind of like Travis said, like he knows what's going on. He's here. Like, why I got to pray out loud? Like, look, I look like a loony bin. I'm sitting there talking to myself, but the neighbors at the farm already think I'm crazy because I talk to the cows all day long, you know? So like, why they need to hear me talking to God, not talking to the cows. And you know, that concept of praying out loud because he's here, that's like a game changer for me.
One last thing I want to address before we wrap things up. You and Travis, and you know that I've struggled with this big time in my life. One of your biggest struggles with prayer is focused around the concept of predestination.
Yeah.
Travis said the exact same thing. He used different words. Why do I need to pray if God already knows?
It's already determined. Like again, I got things to do. Like, I'm not going to waste my time if he already knows. He knows what I need. He knows the outcome. Why waste my time praying?
So what have you been learning about that big misconception?
There's the only way I'm going to get closer to him is to have conversation and build that personal relationship. If I'm not praying, I'm not talking to him. And I'm not going to build that closeness by doing that.
So it's less about the thing.
Exactly.
It's less about the task. And it's literally more about his presence and the relationship that you have with him.
Correct.
And so you can't have that without having this exchange.
Yeah. And like Travis said, like, you know, when my wife walks in the door, one of my kids, like Sam, I never had a hard time having a hard conversation with him. When they walk in the door and something's wrong, we know there's something wrong. So we don't turn and walk away and be like, I hope it fixes itself. You know, we dig in. We're like, hey, what's going on? What's going on? So it's the same with our Heavenly Father. Like, we have something wrong. He knows there's something wrong, but he wants us to unload that on him. And, you know, when Travis said that about his daughter, like that, it's so true. Like, he knows what's going on. He may have even put that burden on us to draw us to him.
Yeah.
And like you said earlier, like, he's there. We just have to go to him. Like, he's not going to come to us. He's there. We need to take our burdens to him.
Absolutely. So, men, we're up here trying to model a conversation. Do you feel that this is what you can have with the God of the universe? Some of us, he had an amazing relationship with his dad. Travis had an amazing relationship with his dad. They did not want to disappoint. I didn't. So I felt like a constant disappointment. Different. We all have our baggage that we bring to Father God that we have to learn to talk to him about, because the only way that I've been able to enter into a healing relationship is to be able to converse with him about my hurt, my pain, my struggles, all the things that keep me, or that the evil one wants to keep me from talking to him about. Men, what God is calling this church family to, we are saying to you, we will not experience the great things that he has for us unless we are corporately seeking and talking to him and pouring our hearts out, because he is not going to reveal our path to one person. So we have to learn to converse with him. We have to learn to open our hearts up, because that's how the Holy Spirit is going to work through us. He's going to use the truth of the word. But listen, with this, I'm going to close. Some of you, your background, whether it's Baptist or Presbyterian or what we would call Reformed theology, let's be really honest that a lot of us refer to Father, Son, and Holy Bible. You hear what I just said? Not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because for some of us, it's intellectual and it's information, it's theology driven. And yet it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What we're talking about with prayer, men especially, this is experiential. This is not just information and task and truth driven. This is the truth affecting my inward anatomy, my soul, and my spirit, so that I can literally experience the living God in my life on the most personal level throughout the day in everything I do. Men, we can talk about prayer, but do we pray? We can have this conversation, but what are you going to do differently this afternoon? We have to be a people of prayer. We have to be people that are learning to dialogue and have conversations with the very God that we believe in and that we worship. Men, we are calling you to a new experience of manhood in Christ Jesus. Think about these things as we stand and worship together.